Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
I loved every minute of it, Mark. I mean, every minute. I did not like the losses. Nobody likes the losses, but I love this job. And again, like you said, I don't consider this work. You know, I know sometimes whenever you don't win enough ball games, people say, and I have people talking about like they're feeling sorry for me. Feel sorry for me. Do you know what I do? I'm the head coach of the Houston Texans, you know, regardless of what the record is. And that's a beautiful thing.
Not anymore. Not anymore. David Culley out as the head coach of the Houston Texans. It came down yesterday afternoon. David Culley reportedly met with his staff, some of which was blown out as well. 2 o'clock yesterday, met with his staff. David Culley fired. Tim Kelly fired, or at least announced as fired shortly thereafter. Nick Caserio included both of them in his statement to the media. Nick Caserio will meet with the media today at 11 o'clock. We'll carry that live here on Sports Radio 610 as we welcome you into Payne and Pendergast on an historic day for the Houston Texans, Seth Payne. This is a franchise that has been, throughout its history, very patient with head coaches. Dom Capers, Gary Kubiak, Bill O'Brien. The Texans are now in that uncharted territory of being a team that is ousting coaches after 1 year. I don't have a big problem with this at all. Like, David Culley deserved to be fired, and we'll dig into it all day long here on Sports Radio 610. But Seth, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the barrage of tweets come out yesterday afternoon about David Culley?
It wasn't a surprise to me, and I'm not bragging by saying that. I think to most people in Houston, it wasn't a surprise. You knew that this so-called evaluation period couldn't have possibly taken 4 days. And it might have been, I think the evaluation period for the Texans was one more of, all right, we knew we were going to have to move on at some point. Is right now the right moment? And perhaps calls were made to various people about, you know, hey, does this job look appetizing to you or inviting to you? At the very least, whether they, you know, closet interviewed people or not, who knows? But I think the difference between this year and last year, and I heard Show yesterday talking a lot about how the Texans are in a worse off state right now than they were back then. I don't agree with that. Because I do think there will be more people that perhaps are willing to come in without the Deshaun Watson situation resolved. Last year, you got to remember, everything was super fresh. Deshaun had just demanded a trade. Jack Easterby exposés had been printed twice in Sports Illustrated, or at least printed online, published online in Sports Illustrated. And I think it was unlikely that the Texans were going to be able to pull somebody that they genuinely wanted into the fold. And now I think that might have changed a little bit. So, it wasn't a surprise. I think the biggest surprise for me yesterday was that they had guaranteed $22 million of David Culley's contract.
Yeah, that was the report. There were conflicting reports that came out initially. And I know this was a big question for people, as it looked like David Culley was going to get fired. Like, wow, does he get paid? The first report was Adam Schefter saying that Culley signed a 4-year deal, but only the first 2 years were guaranteed. I think there was a subsequent Aaron Wilson tweet saying that the second year that was guaranteed was for $4 million. So we all assumed it was $8 million he was going to ultimately walk away with for this year and the year for which he was guaranteed in year two. And then Tom Pelissero's report came out, and I believe was corroborated by multiple people, which was, no, David Culley signed a four-year, $22 million deal, and they still have $17 million that they owe him, so he's going to walk away with $22 million. Look, whether David Culley walks away with eight or 22, it's still not great value for what you got out of David Culley. But your point is a good one, Seth, and I know this is where you're going with this because you and I have talked about this ad nauseum off the air. If it's 22 and they guaranteed 4 years to David Culley, then that raises all sorts of questions to me.
Because it doesn't, then you're wondering.
That raises competency questions.
Right, because before I was operating thinking, okay, they either hired him expecting him to be a bridge coach that might last 1 or 2 years, and maybe it works out and he ends up being better than you thought and you keep him around. But that would be the plan move. Or the other option was that they genuinely thought David Culley was a good coach and he could actually be the one with a capital O. The $22 million makes me think it might have been the latter, that they might have actually thought David Culley could actually be that coach. Which makes me wonder, like, how much do they actually think goes into being an NFL head coach? Like, I'm really at a loss as to how they could sit down for extended interviews with David Culley and think that, oh yeah, this guy who everybody who's ever worked with him never thought to promote him to even coordinator.
Right.
That nobody else has ever thought of him as a head coach. That somehow, no, this is the guy. Everybody else, Andy Reid missed the boat. Oh, like all John Harbaugh missed the boat.
like some of the sharpest coaches. Like he was with the Steelers back with Bill Cowher in the day. Like missed
can't
the boat.
Bill Cowher didn't realize Hall David Culley was right under his nose.
Right, exactly.
Didn't do anything with him.
Well, yeah,
all
these
guys.
The Roonies, right? Like the Roonies missed on David Culley. They went and hired Mike Tomlin. They missed.
They really
on David
whiffed
Culley.
On that one.
Yeah,
clowns.
Yeah.
What a clown franchise.
Yeah. So the $22 million. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things to dig into with this. So yeah, and that's okay. This is the other thing too, the dichotomy of the national narrative on this versus the local actuality on this firing. I think most Texan fans who watched this team play to play all year get why David Culley's not here anymore. Completely overwhelmed from a game management standpoint, a sideline operations standpoint, a press conference standpoint, just not head coaching material. The national narrative is being driven on a completely different bus. And I did SiriusXM. I did an interview on SiriusXM last night. And the host of that show kind of presented it to me, not as his opinion, but he was observing the same thing that I'm laying out here. Like, boy, it's funny because a lot of people around the country think David Culley did a good job. He was handed nothing and got 4 wins. And I said, I would ask any of those people, how many Texan games did they watch this year?
Yeah.
We all watched it. If you watched it, then I think you're in the majority that understand David Culley was not good at his job. If you're in the national media, then there's two things going on. One, you feel sorry for David Culley because he's a nice guy. Two, and the Texans have put themselves in this position, I readily admit, the Texans are not in a position where they get the benefit of the doubt on anything right now. If they handle anything moderately inelegantly, it's immediately their fault. Even if it's the right decision, it's their fault.
You know, a lot of people saying that the Texans overperformed, despite the fact that the preseason over-under on Texans wins was 4. And I think those people, if anything, are just trying to talk themselves out of not understanding what bad handicappers they are. That they don't understand the NFL. That it's actually, look, I've had the great fortune to have covered 2-14 teams and played on 1-14 teams team. Let me tell you something. Actually, no, only 2-14 teams, excuse me. It takes a little bit of bad luck to go 2-14.
Yes.
It really does. Like, it's not as simple. It's not so easy when you're actually really trying to win games. The Texans were quasi trying to win games. It's not so easy to go 2-14. So anytime you think like, oh, wow, you kept this team out of only winning 2 games, like, no. Those teams, as bad as they are, that go 2-14 or 1-15, they had a little bad luck along the way. The Texans, in a lot of respects, were worse than the Texans 2-14 teams because the losses that they did have were just by double digits frequently. The wins they did have were largely aided pretty much just by turnovers. I had a friend text me yesterday who felt like Lovie Smith was getting off the hook a little too much. And I actually would agree with him. I think maybe I tend to just credit Lovie Smith for creating so many turnovers, which did lead to the only wins the Texans had. But we do have to remember that it was a really bad defense other than the turnovers.
Reportedly, one of the other reasons David Culley was fired, and this came from Ian Rapoport, is that he didn't want to make any changes to his coaching staff. Here was a Tim Kelly fired yesterday as well. Here was David Culley on Sunday when he was asked about Tim Kelly. For the umpteenth time asked, are you bringing Tim Kelly back? And he doubled down once again.
You mentioned that you 100% expect Tim Kelly to lead the offense again. I mean, what from today?
Still do expect that.
And how much conversation with Caserio and all that do you see from the evaluation of the year?
Haven't had any conversation at all. We're just looking forward tomorrow to our exit meetings. Okay. And then we'll go from there.
I mean, like, if you're going to sit here and tell me that this guy knows what he's doing, he doesn't even know the basics of how human resources work. You know, like, that's these are big decisions about your staff, and we know Nick Caserio is the one that pretty much assembled the staff, and you haven't talked to the guy yet, and you're godfathering people into jobs where they were terrible at their job. Like, what are you doing, man?
I've had the time of my life. I know people get upset with the losing.
Yeah.
You know who usually gets upset with losing? NFL head football coaches. They hate it. Sean.
Most do.
Look, Sean, people might not realize this, but I played the game. Everybody knows this. Everybody except David Culley in the NFL gets upset with losing. Everybody. And I'm not, listen, everybody, we're not piling on David Culley. Like, I have no ill will towards him in my heart. Like, what was he supposed to do? Turn down $6 million a year or $5.5 million a year from the only entity on earth that was going to offer him $5.5 million per year? Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course he shouldn't turn that down. But my God, if the Texans, Sean, I'm terrified that they actually thought they were hiring a long-term coach. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was keeping me sane was believing that they definitely knew that he was a bridge coach. And now I just don't know.
We'll see. Nick Caserio meets with the media today at 11 o'clock. We got all kinds of great material up on the website at sportsradio610.com. List of candidates. In fact, let's go there next. Who is next for the Texans head coach? Two leaders in the clubhouse right now. Stay there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
You know what? Everybody that's ever played for him, they love the guy. He's very well respected up here, very well respected as far as just media people and people that covered the team for a long time and the players. Nothing but good things I've ever heard from Brian Flores. And again, I think a guy that really was just kind of his own man that was able to stand up to Bill. People liked the defense better when he was here.
That's Ted Johnson. our former colleague and, of course, three-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots. He covers the Patriots on a daily basis now up in Boston, so he joined us earlier this week. That was Ted talking about Brian Flores as we welcome you back in. Payne and Pendergast on a Football Friday, and it is as football gets, at least around here. David Culley gone after 1 year as Texans head coach. We got you covered all day long. 11 a.m., Nick Caserio press conference. Seth, I don't think any big surprise in the aftermath of David Culley's termination being announced yesterday that the two leading candidates that were mentioned, Aaron Wilson was the first one I saw mention Brian Flores as being targeted as the Texans' quote top candidate. I don't think a big surprise there. Adam Schefter and others tweeting that Jerod Mayo is a leading candidate as well. So right now, and I know that we're going to get an email with odds on who the next Texans head coach is. I fully expect the top three to be, in some order, Flores, Mayo, Josh McDaniels. Those will be
Flores,
the top three.
Mayo, Josh McDaniels. Yeah. And Josh McDaniels, I know that, you know, several people that are pretty well connected had told me early on, they were adamant that this was, you know, going back to last year, that Josh McDaniels wouldn't ever be a candidate for the Texans. And I don't know. I honestly, I got to revisit that with them because I don't know exactly what they were basing that on. You know, maybe they were kind of trying to put two and two together. But it would, I don't know why it wouldn't be Josh McDaniels. I mean, personally, I know why it might, maybe shouldn't be Josh McDaniels, but I don't know why maybe Caserio or Easterby wouldn't want that, especially since it sounds like for Caserio and McDaniels played together in college. They seemingly had a good working relationship in New England. They were on the headset together during games, all of that. So if it weren't going to be McDaniels, I don't think it would be because of bad blood or anything. So that's just something to monitor. Maybe that's the kind of thing that maybe Vegas knows better than anybody else. And if McDaniels is low down there on the odds board, it might be for a reason.
McDaniels is the least interesting of the three to me, Seth.
Yeah.
The only reason McDaniels is interesting right now is because there was a report earlier this week, I think that was Aaron Wilson also, that said that Josh McDaniels isn't entertaining any head coaching opportunities while the team is in the playoffs. So if New England were to beat Buffalo on Saturday night and this thing starts to drag out a little bit, that part gets interesting. As far as personalities go, the other two, Flores and Mayo, are very interesting to me. Mayo is interesting because he, like David Culley, has never been a coordinator before. Unlike David Culley, you know, he wasn't alive for the Kennedy administration. So he's much younger. He's viewed as a rising star, unlike David Culley was, all those things. So he's intriguing just because there's a lot of unknown with Jerod Mayo that would come with hiring him. But he's impressed a lot of people. The Flores one is very intriguing from this standpoint. We've heard a lot of stories over the last few days about what Brian Flores was like behind the scenes in Miami. And it sure did sound a lot like what Bill O'Brien was behind the scenes, particularly when Rick Smith was the general manager here. Now, Flores and Caserio have worked together before, so they know each other. So that part I'm comfortable with. And I'm comfortable with them bringing somebody into the building who's got an abrasive personality. If you want to know the truth, I just want somebody who wins football games. But it would surprise me only because we know how bad it was behind the scenes the last couple of years of the Bill O'Brien era. And it feels like a huge reason David Culley was hired was because his personality was the complete polar opposite of Bill O'Brien. The people liked actually working with the guy, working for the guy, coming into work and seeing the guy, that kind of thing. Flores sounds like, and I'll acknowledge that the articles written about him are written through a certain prism. There may be people that say completely different things about Brian Flores. But if we're reading the reports out there, Flores skews much closer to the O'Brien end of things when it comes to a personality. So that would surprise me a little bit that ownership would bring in that type of personality just 1 year after getting rid of it. And maybe that's a sign, too, that Nick Caserio is truly, truly, truly the one steering the ship on all this. As Cal McNair said in his statement yesterday, I've entrusted Nick Caserio to lead football performance, and I have complete confidence he will find the best leader for our team. So there you go.
Yeah. I think that the whole personality thing is one that concerns me just because I don't – whenever you try to go for a certain type of NFL head coach, it makes me nervous. Whether you're going for, okay, we're going to hire a defensive-minded guy. We're going to hire an offensive-minded guy. We're going to hire a guy that's got experience as a head coach. We got this. We've got that. You start – excluding candidates based on very superficial factors. Really, at the root of it all, it's a very superficial factor if you start excluding guys. So think about that. That means that in any given coaching cycle, you might have excluded Sean McVay, or you might have excluded Bill Belichick, or you might have excluded Joe Gibbs going back in the day. I always feel like there are different types of personalities that make good head coaches. And in any given year, maybe your preferred personality isn't in the coaching cycle or the hire cycle. So, Sean, you know what? It reminds me of in San Francisco when we went out to the Super Bowl out there. I was sitting around probably listening to your guys' show one day, and I ended up talking to this venture capitalist. It was cool because we were out in San Francisco, and there was some guy. And from what I could pick up, this guy was kind of a big deal. He was there with a group of agents. He was a successful venture capitalist out in Silicon Valley. And the thing that was really interesting he told me was that one of the things he looks for in young startup companies or CEOs of young startup companies is difficult personalities.
Mm-hmm.
He wants difficult personalities.
Yeah.
He wants people that have visions that they will not bend for, and they're stubborn, they're obstinate. And I think a lot of really good NFL head coaches, it should be no surprise to anybody, they're difficult personalities. They learn how to temper it through the in different ways and everything. But if you go in and saying like, "Well, I don't want a personality like Bill O'Brien," you're going to cut yourself off from like 75% of the good head coaches.
No doubt. And I would take that a step further, Seth. And as you're talking about hiring a difficult personality, I would take it a step down the food chain and say, I want a head coach who hires assistant coaches who are going to challenge him on a daily basis. You know, that was the phrase the CEO I used to work for when I was a vice president of my company in sales, who was one of the sharpest guys I've ever worked, never went to college, and he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, he's that good a sales guy, and he's a great CEO. Constructive conflict was the word that the phrase he used all the time. Like, he liked it when people challenged him. He loved getting into arguments in staff meetings because that's where the best ideas came from.
Right. And I'm not saying that Bill O'Brien, that Bill O'Brien went about it the right way. I'm saying that you shouldn't look for the opposite of Bill O'Brien.
Right.
You know, anything. But there's like a precious few kind of guys that can do it all and that kind of check off all the boxes. And I mentioned Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs would be one of those guys who is just kind of like an offensive savant, but also a really good CEO type of a head coach who is really good at delegating, motivating, doing all those things. And I think Joe Gibbs was like, from what it sounds like, he was congenially difficult to work with.
Yes.
He had high standards. He made you work really, really ridiculously hard. But he was kind of a gentleman about it. But there's varying levels of that. But it's not like he was an easy guy to work for.
No, but he was respected, and I think that's a big key as well. All right, he's Seth Payne. I'm Sean Pendergast. We got you covered all day long here. The firing of David Culley. Make a note, Michael Irvin joins us at 8:45 today. Fingers crossed. And Leroy Horde, former NFL running back who is a morning show host in Miami. We'll get more on Brian Flores, maybe even talk a little about the Deshaun Watson situation as it pertains to the Dolphins. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 610. I'll direct you to sportsradio610.com for a ton of great content that Brandon Scott, our digital guru, has been a machine the last 24 hours working for you guys. Also, if you go to our Twitter feed, I think Brandon retweeted the polls. I've got approval polls up for the top three candidates, Flores, Mayo, McDaniels. Yes or no, would you approve of these hires? Go check those out, vote. We're going to check in on those a little later on in the show as well. Nick Caserio, 11 o'clock press conference today here on Sports Radio 610. The moment I knew the David Culley era was not going to work, you'll hear it next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
It is a football firing Friday. David Culley fired as head coach of the Houston Texans. You know, listeners, friends of mine, when we're casually talking about the David Culley situation and we knew which way the wind was blowing earlier this week, they would ask me, at what point did you think that the David Culley era was not really going to work out in the end? And I would say even going into it, I was skeptical. Although if the goal was just for him to steer the ship for a couple of years, I thought we would make it more than 1 year. I'll be very clear about that. But when did I think it might not last even 2 years? I would say, I went back and watched his initial press conference last night just to relive the magic. This happened about 20 minutes into the press conference. So I would say about 20 minutes into the David Culley era officially, when he was asked about Deshaun Watson as the quarterback. And was he brought up to speed throughout the interview process on the fact that Deshaun Watson had requested a trade?
The only thing I knew about this whole situation at that point was that I was being interviewed for this job to be the head coach. And I did know at that point, Deshaun Watson's a Houston Texan. He's a quarterback of the Houston Texans. And that's all that I was concerned about. And that's all I knew. And whatever was been said about what he wanted to do or he didn't want to do. All I know is this, having been in this business this long, you know, he is a Houston Texan and I want him to be a Houston Texan. And the reason I'm in this position today is because I knew he's going to be a Houston Texan. And so that the outside stuff that was being said was irrelevant to me, because the most important thing to me is that at that time was figuring out what can I do after talking with Nick and his family to become the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Okay, so a lot of words there. David Culley, that set, and we should point out the timeline. That was January 29th. The lawsuits didn't become a public thing till March 16th. So at that point, the only issue with Deshaun Watson was kind of a big issue, but he didn't want to be here anymore. He wanted to be traded.
It wasn't stuff that was being said on the outside that was the issue, Sean.
Right.
That was that was what bothered me about that was it almost felt like, people write things and everything, but they don't know the real truth. He's not playing for the Houston Texans this year.
Literally, the minute that David Culley was announced or it was reported he was going to be the head coach, Deshaun's camp planted the story 5 minutes later that they were confirming his trade request that had been reported for weeks up to that point. Yeah, that was, and I'm not even being cute when I play that, and I'm not doing it to pile on. And we're going to hear more David Culley here in a little bit, because there's plenty of reasons. If you're still in that camp of like, oh, he got a raw deal, he didn't deserve to be fired, why didn't they keep him for 2 years? I got a bunch of reasons here in a minute. And we're going to be forward-looking today and looking at candidates and things like that. But this is the one day we rehash, man. We do the autopsy. Like, how did we arrive here? And Seth, that answer to me I put myself on that day in Deshaun Watson's shoes, and it was the part at the very end, like, he will be a Houston Texan. He is a Houston Texan, and I'm thinking, man, if I were Deshaun, I'd be like, slow down, old man. I got a no trade clause. I got a lot of hand in this. So that answer to me, I'm like, God, this is really tone deaf what I'm hearing right now. And then five minutes later, he's asked, why'd you take the job? And he said, it's because it was one of 32 jobs.
Yeah.
I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league.
Yep.
I've seen people defend David Culley by saying, well, you can't judge him based on his press conferences because, you know, that's not the same as coaching. This is the problem. I'd say early on, I felt partially the same way. I don't like judging guys on press conferences too much because very few people in the NFL have actually done that many press conferences. Yeah. It's good that now coordinators have to do them every week. But it's a very unnatural environment and guys slip up and say a lot of things. The thing about Culley was, as he got more comfortable with the press conferences, you started to realize more and more, Oh no, he just doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Like, it was before, it might have been like attributed to nervousness. Now it's just that, oh, he's very comfortable telling us that, like, openly admitting to us that he was clueless and lost at various moments during the season.
Dude, if you got him on a podcast, it's like you just handed him a bottle of peach schnapps and he's just talking and talking. Remember when he's on that podcast? He's like, he is our quarterback as of now.
You know, the worst thing about that podcast, if you go back and watch it, I watched it a couple weeks ago just to relive the past glory of the Love You Cull era. And I... So the one of the best parts of the Love You Cull era was when... when he was on that podcast with those two guys, who was it? It was
Steve Weish and J.C. Trotter.
So J.C. Trotter, which always feels like it should be J.C. Trotter. J.C. Trotter.
No, J.C. Trotter. It's Jim Trotter. Sorry, J.C. Trotter. I'm mashing their names up. J.C. Trotter is the Cleveland Brown. Yes.
Okay, so it was those two guys, and the thing about that, Sean, was when Culley said he's the quarterback for now. The other two guys kind of said, whoa, coach, you got to watch out, coach. And Culley just kept smiling and shaking his head. Yes.
That was awesome.
Like, he didn't even realize that he'd gotten got, like that he botched it somehow. And he said, and he repeated himself. Like, he said, yeah, for now.
Right.
And then he had a talking to, and he came back. And like half an hour later in the press conference, he was the complete opposite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was nervous. And it was wild. It was wild. So that was the moment. That was the moment for me. Seth, as we dig into David Culley here, like kind of, you know, doing the analysis here of how we got here, what would you say, like, if we're sitting here and we're debating with somebody who thinks David Culley got a raw deal in this whole thing, and I'm going to entertain their point of view on this because I don't agree with that. What was David Culley good at as a head coach?
I think he's the only head coach I've ever seen give pep talks to the fans before training camp practices. That was good. I think that
I don't want my next coach doing that, by the way.
I think that he generally, and I see we're getting a lot of texts talking about, like, hey, wait a second. The fact that he got hired was the real issue. Of course. Yes, of course. We're encompassing all that. If you tune in at various.
I just said I knew he was going to fail 20 minutes into his introduction.
Yeah. Like, look, Casario and Easterby are not like this is a. Even if they hired him just to be a bridge coach, this was a botched bridge coach hiring.
Yes.
It's just like they. They did. Bo Porter, that was a hell of a bridge coach. He knew what he was. You know why? Because Bo Porter knew what he was talking about. Like, Bo Porter was a competent. I mean, Bo Porter, if he could go back in time, probably wishes he hadn't taken the job because I think he would have been a manager. He might have been a manager elsewhere, like with some place that had a viable opportunity. But I do think sometimes it's underrated. Like how hard it is to just run a tight ship in the NFL, that it is easy for things to kind of go out of control. And as I'm saying this, I'm also realizing, oh, wait, yeah, we did have Zach Cunningham like skipping multiple meetings and ultimately getting cut. I think that Culley was helped out by the nature of the roster and the shape of the roster. And I think by Casario kind of being the heavy hand in a lot of this stuff. Guys were benched very quickly. Guys were just gotten off the team very quickly if there were issues. And they had a bunch of one-year veterans. This is a very veteran football team.
Yeah.
It's not a young football team. The teams that go off the rails tend to be younger teams especially. or there's a lot of cocaine if you're talking about the 1980s. I don't think either of those were an issue here. They didn't have a whole bunch of guys that had off the field issues. They had guys that were on 1 year deals that were veterans that were going to show up and play hard. But I will give them credit for, you know, being at the helm during that.
Yeah, sure. When I was jotting down things like, okay, what was he good at? I'll entertain the other side of the argument here. Ran a pretty tight training camp. I mean, I we can go back and listen to you and I being out of training camp going, you know what? This looks, we said during, I know I did. I said, this looks like a better coach team than last year's team. During training camp, I said that I think this is going to be a better coach team. As it turns out, I was wrong about that. They were probably coached about the same. But he ran a tight training camp, and I wrote, he's good at being nice to people. And so I don't know if that qualifies him to be a good head coach, but he was a very, very sweet man.
This is one where we need suggestions from the listeners about what were Cully's greatest skills. Chewing gum is up there.
Big
on
time.
The list.
Big time. Yeah, text in. 713.
Did he start the gum halfway? Early in the season, it just looked like he was chewing his tongue.
Yes. Yeah, it did. It did.
Which was disturbing.
Right, right.
That was
maybe someone walked up to him and said, hey, coach, how about some gum instead?
Listen, there's only one person that's allowed to chew on their own body parts during games in this town, and that's Jose Altuve with his fingernails.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. That's
right. All right? That's
yeah.
it. There's room for one and one alone.
He's
if your name isn't
dude.
Jose Altuve, yeah. then you keep your teeth off your other body parts during a game.
All right. Now for those of you who think that David Culley got a raw deal, I am going to make my counterpoints here via audio, Seth. Are you ready? My counterpoints on the issues with the David Culley era. First, game management. And there are several examples we can use here, but I'll just use the earliest one, the first red flag that game management was going to be an issue for David Culley, and explaining his decisions the next day was going to be an issue. This was David Culley after the loss to Cleveland in week two, where he declined a penalty on third down to punt on fourth and two from midfield.
If I had it to do over again, I would have taken the penalty. And I tell you, as I thought about it, it was more of out of a frustration than anything. And kind of this is what happened is we were second and seven. We get a false start. I think it was Titus had a false start. And then we go to second and 12. Then the very next play, we lose 3 yards. We lose 3 yards on it. So now we're second and, I don't know what it was, I put it, second and 12. And we lose three, so it's 15. And then when we got the penalty, the first thing that went through my mind was, and I was a little frustrated at that time because I was thinking field position. I did not want to do anything to hurt us. And then, because Cam, as a punter, we had the ball right there about the 49-yard line. I figured that, you know, he's been very, very good at being able to pin him back. And I was thinking that, but, again, that was just out of frustration on my part because of the series that we were having at that time. But, no, if I had that to do over again, I would take the penalty and give our offense a chance to get the first down, which is what I should have done.
Like playing the Curb Your Enthusiasm there
was,
a little bit.
So game management and explaining game management.
Game management
issue.
And explaining the game management afterwards. Now, early on, if I remember correctly, it was so long ago during the Lovey Call era, that it was a little bit refreshing that a guy would at least admit those mistakes.
I agree with that.
And he was early in the season. As the season went along, I think there were fewer gaffes. I just wonder if there was kind of a Cyrano de Bergerac situation going on where the reason there were fewer gaffes was because Nick Caserio and Romeo Crennel flat out just put their hands on the wheel.
Yes.
And were the ones, you know, just kind of telling Culley what to do and Culley parroting those things.
Well, another issue, not just game management, but attention span, I think kind of played into it as he revealed to us in a very honest moment, another honest moment from David Culley. He revealed this after the win over Jacksonville in week 15, that the New England game in week 5, he just wasn't paying attention when it came time to let New England score at the end.
I go back again to the New England game. I can remember just like it was yesterday that the conversation went, let them score. I mean, I heard the conversation and then all of a sudden it didn't compute to me at that time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden now from that point on, I've learned that to be ahead of those things. And when you're ahead of those things like that, you're much better to make those decisions. That means you're going to make the right decision. But when you make that decision, you're pretty sure about making that decision. And when you make those decisions, Aaron, those players know. They know immediately whether you're going for it on fourth down. A lot of times when we get in a third down situation, a third and two or whatnot, I'll tell Tim, you got two downs. I want him to make this decision knowing that you got two downs to get this first down. Nobody knows that but he and I. So the point is,
being able to have those things ahead of time allows us to and allows our play callers to be able to do the things that they need to do.
Okay, so there you go. So attention span. Seth, as we know, math was an issue at times with David Culley following the Miami game with the turnover margin.
The turnover margin, yeah. Are we going to play that audio?
Sure.
Everybody, just remember, the Dolphins in this game turned the ball over 5 times. The Texans turned the ball over 4 times and lost to the Dolphins, who turned the ball over 5 times.
Well, we got no chance to win a football game. It doesn't matter who you play when you turn the ball over 4 times. It doesn't matter if you get 5 turnovers. It doesn't matter. It's a formula that's been in this league, in all leagues, that when you play that way, you have no chance to win.
It's a formula. Somewhere Nick Sirianni is like, another formula. Something that I have to go with. Talent takeover equals what was it, Ben?
Less thinking equals talent takeover.
That's right.
It's a formula that if you're plus one in the turnover margin, you have no chance of winning the game, Sean.
Only it's when it's 5-4. Yeah.
Only if it's, yeah, it's a formula.
Yeah.
It's been proven time and time again, except for the one exception, ironically enough, which was yesterday when our team was beat by a team that had turned the ball over at least 4 times.
That has slowly become my favorite David Culley cut of all of them.
It looked like he had really, really thought it out, and it was just like, you know, he was explaining something to us peasants about, like, the way football works.
It's a formula since time immemorial. Moses came down and on a tablet had this formula for turnovers in a football game in this league or any other league, I do declare.
8 commandments. There were 8 commandments, you see.
Let me tell you about Aesop and his 8 commandments. What?
Some of them were curiously kind of like trivial versus other ones like do not murder.
Right.
And then other really important stuff was completely left out. But there were 8, and that's the important thing.
Okay, the last thing here on Culley is that while most head coaches are either good or bad at hiring people, David Culley, bad at firing people. Here was Culley on Sunday following the last game of the year on who's coming back.
Well, I expect everybody to be back, and I expect us to get better at everything that we're doing, you know, not just from the run game, but our pass game, get better on defense, get better on special teams. I think overall, you know, we just got to get better in all areas. And looking forward to going through that this offseason, self-evaluating ourselves and figuring out what we need to do to get better and then move forward with it.
Seth, I'm sure Nick Caserio is going to get asked about this today at 11 o'clock at his press conference. In his statement to the media, Caserio cited philosophical differences over the long-term direction and vision for our program moving forward. You juxtapose that to reports that Nick Caserio did not like the fact that David Culley wanted to bring everybody back. How much are you buying into that as a driving force behind Culley getting fired, or is that an excuse? Because I think philosophical differences being mentioned in the statement mean philosophical differences over staff, and especially when Tim Kelly also gets mentioned in the same statement with David Culley.
And it was a little bit of a, I don't know, I know some people had an issue with them even mentioning, you know, the philosophical differences in the exit or the explanation. I guess I don't worry as much about that. I can see where it's not necessarily the classiest thing to do to cite anything other than all than just say it was time to move on. I have a hard time believing that's the thing that was the deal breaker of the multiple things that showed that David Culley just flat out didn't know what he was doing. Him wanting to stick to his guns on something like that sounds A, improbable that he would even do it, and B, just, it sounds like inconsequential in the face of all the other reasons we already knew about why he should be fired.
I could see it being a straw that broke the camel's back. You know, just the timing of him saying that Tim Kelly would 100% be back next season was, I think it was the Friday before the Titans game, and that's when the rumblings kind of started. The reports went from David Culley expected to be back to they're expecting to be an evaluation. The timing was very lined up with David Culley really going from supporting Tim Kelly to digging his heels on Tim Kelly being retained.
You know, I think that, I think that there's also an element here where I'll go back to the Moneyball example when Billy Beane basically had agreed with Art Howe, the manager, like, okay, this is where we're going to run things. And Art Howe initially, we should have Art on at some point to talk about this. Art Howe initially was cool with everything, like understood the setup, the situation. Once you go through an entire season, it's hard. It's different. It's different. And it's hard to necessarily accept that, wait a second, I'm not going to have authority to make this decision or that decision. And Cully, even though it's easy for us to say, like, well, Cully should just be grateful to have a job, maybe Cully got to the point where he realized, like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I've messed up a lot, but I also didn't know it was going to be quite like this.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that you were going to trade away some of the better players on the team immediately before the season or the way we operated during the year. So maybe David Cully did kind of champ at the bit a little bit and throw up some objectives, and that was the final straw.
Could be. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610 to call or text the show today. We want to hear your take on David Cully getting fired as the head coach of the Houston Texans. Texans now in a search for their fifth head coach in franchise history, and we know the names that are the front runners right now. Brian Flores, Jerod Mayo have been reported as front runners. If the Texans really take this opportunity to get a hire that the fan base is going to welcome like a conquering hero, who would it be? I've got a couple names, and one name that has been a hot name the last couple years. Is this guy cooling off? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.